I'm here today with Jonathan Wilson, who wrote a new book.
Hey, Bob. How are you?
Good, thanks.
I wrote a book here, Future Leader, Rebooting Leadership to Win the Millennial and Tech Future. Glad to be here.
I'm glad to be here with you. Yeah. Oh, yes. What is it about, and who is it for?
So I wrote this book. The title is Future Leader, but this book isn't about like future leaders, like people who are in the technical parts of their job, who are someday looking to lead their team. That's not really what we're talking about here. This is a book that is for people who are already in leadership positions, people who are dealing with a couple of really key forces that are affecting every organization really out there. And these forces are generational churn, okay, movement of the generations through the workplace, and also rapid technological advancement. So the influence of tech on work. And the idea is our organizations are moving forward from today, right? Every day. And things are changing really fast. The question is, how can we adapt our leadership style to meet the future, right? To change it, to do better, you know, going forward.
Nice.
Yeah.
I like that.
I almost liked it.
Almost. Can you tell me a little bit more about who this person is that you wrote this book for?
Sure. So when I was writing this book, you're right. And so I created what I call an avatar, basically a person who I'm writing this book for. Who is this person and what is their problem? And essentially the person looks like this. I want you to imagine a 42-year-old leader, somebody who's in a leadership position, okay? They might have a team that they're leading that could be just a couple of people, five people, something like that. They've been doing this leadership thing for a while now. And so they think that they've kind of got it all figured out. And the thing is that how they've been leading up until now might have worked out pretty well. But these people are probably noticing, this avatar that I'm imagining is noticing a change that's happening in the workplace. And the change is happening around their team while they're still leading in the same way they always have. And so the changes are coming from two major sort of external forces that are working on a number of organizations. So the first is generational churn, and this is the movement of the generations through the workplace. The second is rapid technological advancement. This is technology that's changing what work is and how it gets done. So you're this leader, you're 42 years old, you've got a team, and you notice that things are changing in your workplace. One, that the people who might be above you in the organizational chart are getting older. Maybe you're experiencing a number of retirements from this older generation. And as this generation, these are the baby boomers. These baby boomers are 54 to about 75. And 10,000 of them each day are reaching age 65. A trend that's going to continue for another 10 years. And so as these folks get older, a number of them are going to retire or take on different roles in the organization or move along or do other kinds of work. And so whereas one point when we were leading our teams one way, the workplace was relatively stable in terms of the generations. Now it's changing. So we got people on one end, baby boomers that are retiring out. And on the other end, we have another generation, now the largest generation represented in the workplace, the millennials, who are 18 to 38 years old and are getting more influential in their jobs. And the reason is there's simply more of them in the workplace. Mm-hmm. So by 2020, half of your office is going to be millennial. Well, if you're of this 42-year-old leader and you've been doing things a certain way for a while now, it's time to make a little bit of a change because the team that you have, these people are changing, right? People are retiring out. Your team composition is probably changing. It's probably skewing younger. And what you've been doing may not get you the same results that it once did. Now, if you compound that problem with another thing that's out there, and this other thing is technological advancement, which is technology changing what work is, changing how we get things done. Well, if you've been doing things a certain way for a long time, your competitors, on the other hand, say they're adopting technology. It's making them more efficient, more effective, cutting their costs. If you're not keeping up with that, you're falling behind, right? Mm-hmm. You may be able to get your team engaged, get your team motivated, get them working, but at the same time, your competitors might be outgunning you with technology that you haven't been keeping up with. So there's two sort of these forces that are coming upon us right now. And if you're a leader right now, if you got a team of people who are depending on you, if you're running an organization, you have to figure out how to adapt. And that's what this book takes you through, is a model of leadership that you can use to help get you through, especially the next 10 years, which are going to be really critical.
What will leaders find to be the hard part about all this?
Well, the hard part, here's what the hard part is. If you're a leader who's been doing this for any sort of time, the hard part is being able to see what needs to be changed about what you're doing in order to get the results that you're looking for. So we've been doing things a long time in a certain way, and to do anything in a different way, take any sort of new idea and implement it to make that change, that's the hard part about all of this. I could give you all the information here in the book. In fact, the information's in the book. In part 3 of the book, there's actually exercises you can go through, an assessment you can take that will help you start to implement these ideas. But that's the hard part. Seeing these larger trends of technology, these larger trends of generations, and being able to change how you do your work each day in response to that.
I want to go back and touch on the something that you kind of briefly mentioned about halfway through your last answer. Yeah, that one. Yeah. What do you think future leaders need to know more about technological advancement?
Okay, so this trend is a big deal. So back in the 1990s, I worked at Amazon, for instance. And if I still work there, I'd be a very rich man today, but I don't. When I was there, my job was I'd come in the afternoon, work swing shift. I'd grab a library cart, because all they sold were books, okay? And I would grab a list, pick list, and I'd walk around their one warehouse in South Seattle, picking out books, taking them over to the person who put them in the boxes and mailed them. So that was my job. And it was fine, right? I mean, whatever, it's not... it wasn't the most complicated work. But now Amazon sells like way more than books, right? I mean, they sell everything. Everything to everyone, that sort of model. You know, you push a button on your computer, 2 days later, you get a package at your doorstep with what you want. And the question is, well, how do they do that? And the answer is they've brought in a lot of automation into their factories to do that. In fact, they have robots now that do the job that I once did, which was... the robots are there, they pick up, they go to the product, pick up essentially the whole shelf and take it over to the people who are packing it up to get them the product out the door. So technology is changing like that. Now that didn't happen overnight. I worked there 20 years ago. Things change slowly. And when it starts changing slowly like that, it's hard for us to kind of see that tsunami wave happening. That's where the hard part is about technological advancement. So what we need to understand about that is technology right now today is catching up with its science fiction potential. We're finally getting to the point where we can solve a lot of our problems, probably most of our problems, our analog problems, with a digital solution. And the question is now not where can we find the digital solution, the technology solution, but should we implement a technological solution? So here's an example. If somebody calls your office, the question is, are they going to talk to a human first who picks up the phone on the second ring? Or does it go to an automated sort of menu machine? a lot of places, you know, if you call your cell phone company or something, you're going to get the menu, the automated answer. Mm-hmm. But you could call a number of smaller organizations and you're going to talk to a person, right?
Yep.
That person's really expensive. You got to pay them. They got sick time. They got vacation time. They have to show up. They have to actually answer the phone. But there's something about when you call a place and somebody answers the phone that has value. And the question is around this is if you're leading that organization and somebody comes to you and says, hey, we can implement this new phone solution. We can get this thing that all these other companies do and we can eliminate so-and-so's job by doing that. And that'll save us all this money. Look at the bottom line. Mm-hmm. Well, the question isn't, well, the bottom line works, so therefore we should do it. The question now for future leaders that we have to get our heads wrapped around is, well, should we do that? Should we make that sort of change? Because maybe our customers expect something different from us. Here's another example. If you go to the food court in the Costco near my house, it used to be that you'd stand in line, deal with the cashier, and then pick up your food next. So you get your churros and your pizza and all that stuff. So recently they put these little kiosk mm-hmm. systems down
yep.
there, right?
Yep.
And I love these kiosk totally. Systems, right? These are yep. great. So I walk up, it's just a little touch screen, put my card in, and boom, I'm done. I get the receipt with my pick number, and when they call my number, pick up my food.
Yep.
It's fantastic.
Brilliant.
Right?
Yep.
It's brilliant.
Yep.
Now, here's the problem for Costco, something Costco has to think about. By doing that, they've lost one customer touch point right there, okay, which is that when I think about Costco, I have the idea of what they do, but they, when you get there, there's all these customer touch points. There's a person at the front door. There's the person who's doing samples. There's the people at the registers. There's the, you know, people in the aisles and all that stuff. But by doing this with their food court, they've removed a customer touch point. May not be bad in and of itself. In fact, I love it.
I do too.
I think it's great.
Yep.
But I don't have relationships with computers or machines or robots or stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Now, if Costco were to use technology, which is available today, that could eliminate the front door person. They could mm-hmm. use something else to check people in.
Yep, scan your badge, whatever, because right. you have to show them the badge.
Exactly.
You could easily like do a scanner type
thing
and walk in the door.
They could even have some sort of technology that is counting people automatically as
turnstile.
They come in.
Yep.
Turnstile, whatever.
Sort of thing, yep.
Then you get your food, you put it in your cart, you go up. Say there's no cashiering experience. Say they've gotten rid of all of that. They didn't just put in self-checkout lanes, but they did like what Amazon did in South Lake Union, which is they got rid of that entire cashiering experience. You just walk in, you grab the stuff, then you leave. Mm-hmm. And they have technology that figures out what you've done. Okay, well, now you've started removing all these other customer touch points. And then the question is for leaders at Costco is, okay, let's say it's better for the bottom line. But is it better for the customer experience? Is it going to keep me coming back to Costco in this age of real competition through Amazon, through other retailers? I don't know. I don't know what the answer is to that. But I do know that we have to think about that part of it. And that's the part that we haven't thought about enough, in my estimation, is how do we evaluate technology, not just for its bottom line costs, but for how it's going to actually impact our organization's overall mission.
So who is the future lead?
Don't ask.
You're going to have to edit that, you know. You're going to sit there at night.
I got 47 minutes going right now.
You're doing great.
You are crushing
so much for 6 minutes.
Yeah.
I am sorry.
You have to edit that way
large out. Swaths. You're just like, delete. Gone.
I've done it all before.
Done it all before, and I'll do it all again.
Mm.
So who is the future leader?
So we talked about this earlier. This is not about people who are technicians now who will someday be promoted. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about somebody who's using what I've put together here in this book, this future leadership framework, using these skills to help transition their organization from today to tomorrow. Okay. So what we're looking at, there's three challenges, really. And these three challenges for the future leader, one, and we talked about these earlier, force of generational churn, force of rapid technological advancement, And the third one that we haven't talked about is that a number of leaders are simply underperforming in their roles right now. So the way I think about it is we're in a football game, okay? And we're sort of at halftime of this game. Imagine you're in the locker room, you're at halftime, and you're looking at the scoreboard, and your team has 7, and the opposing team has 35, okay? And you're coming out onto the field for the second half, right, ready to play. You're way behind. This is where I look at this underperforming leadership, is that we're coming out onto the field, we're way behind already, we're underperforming already, and then we have these forces of generational churn, of technology, that are going to be complicated, and they're going to be agitating these models of leadership. So the diagnosis is does not look good. I see a lot of heartburn for a number of leaders over the next 10 years because they're doing things that may have at one time worked, but that are not working anymore. So what we want are people in leadership positions who get it, right? Who are getting what's going on and who are empowering us as the people who work for them to do our best work. And at the same time, working to get the organization to transition from today to tomorrow, because we still have to be profitable. We still got to make money. We still have to work toward our mission. We can't just get caught up in all of these problems that, you know, around here, because we're going to take our eye off the ball. So future leaders are those of us who are using a discrete set of skills to move their teams, their organizations from today going forward in a profitable and a productive way.
Where can people find out more information about the book and get a hold of you?
Sure. All the information is at futureleaderbook.com. Everything's there. Thanks.
Cool. Thank you.
Ta-da!
Yay!
You did it!